It's never too late.
It is never
too late. That's the title. I got a question. Are you tired? You don't have to answer it. Are you frustrated? Are you beat down? No energy. Does anybody qualify for that? Okay, well, we got answers for you, right? Look to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I had to rewrite some of this out because in the King James, you start going back in the Old Testament, you got to do a lot of unraveling. How many of you have a NLT? Go ahead, raise your hand. I just want to see if we have to buy some. Two people? You can't write on that. Oh, good to see you. You're healed. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, look to verse 17. So I came to hate life. So, anybody there? So I came to hate life because everything done here under the sun is so troubling. Everything is meaningless, like chasing the wind. I came to hate all my hard work here on earth. For I must leave to others everything that I have earned. And who could tell me whether my successors will be wise or foolish? Yet they will control everything I have gained by my skill and hard work under the sun. How meaningless. I gave up in despair, questioning the value of all my hard work in this world. Some people work wisely with knowledge and skill, then must leave the fruit of their efforts to someone who hasn't worked for it. This, too, is meaningless, a great tragedy. So what do people get in this life for all their hard work and anxiety? Their days of labor are filled with pain and grief. Even at night, their minds cannot rest. It is all meaningless. Does this sound like someone who's tired? You know, drowsy drivers kill almost as many as drunken drivers. One woman was so tired and exhausted that her idea of a vacation was going to the dentist. That's trouble because a lot of people hate going to the dentist. Mark 6. Where'd you go on vacation to get away from it all? The dentist chair. Mark 6. Verse 30 through 34. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. He wanted them to come apart so they wouldn't come apart. For they were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Isn't that great? Church, whether you realize it or not, we are literally living in the fast lane. Isn't that right? Even if our sentences are loaded with such words as time crunch, fast food, rush hour. It's true. Frequent flyer, expressway. Overnight delivery, it doesn't stop. And rapid transit. We schedule our appointments on a day runner, diet with Slim Fast, and swim in trunks made by Speedo. Fast lane. Fatigue, of course, comes from many sources for many reasons, but contributing greatly to our current epidemic is our frenzied AWOL, the American way of life. We don't want to experience a power outage, do we? You've got to pace yourself. I remember years ago, if you used the word balance in teaching the word, you know, be balanced, you were in unbelief. Balance is a good word. Isn't that right? All right, look over to Psalm 6. And let's look to verse 6. I'm weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with tears. Sounds like crying. Sighing. Look to Psalm 69 and verse 3. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fell while I wait for God. Amazing, isn't it? Where do you turn when reality hits? You go to drugs, alcohol, other things that are not good for you? Look at John 15. Here's where we're to turn. John 15. These aren't new scriptures. We're just seeing them in a different way, okay? Verse 1. I am the vine, or the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide, settle down in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. See, I'm not without him. So I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, prayer fruit, church. So shall ye be my disciples. Let's go back to familiar psalm. It's a present-day psalm, and people use it a lot at funerals. But there's a lot in it. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. He's your shepherd. He's looking after you. I shall not want. Say, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. This all is supposed to bring peace and calmness to your soul. Still waters, not troubled. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod, or thy word, and thy staff, the Holy Spirit, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. This is not heaven. You won't have any enemies in heaven. This is right here and right now. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Next time you're walking or standing up or jogging, look behind you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Everybody looking for the boogeyman. Look for mercy and goodness. That's not a bad word, is it? I don't know what's bad or good anymore. I can't even understand it when people talk. I said, interpret that now. Daniel chapter 7. Excuse me. Look at verse 25. Daniel 7, 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints. The devil's trying to wear you out. All of us. Through different means. I mean, he'll wear you out washing dishes. Well, Pastor, I got a dishwasher. Okay. Help you clean some of the stuff off before you put it in there. But anyway, he'll wear you out. Some people are worn out by traffic lights. That's why they don't stop for them. A classic example of one who is worn out is to run away from people and be alone. Very unhealthy. Big mistake. We need some interaction. There's an epidemic of dropouts from church and society today. Isn't that true? It seems like everyone is stressed out, like the neurosurgeon who quit medicine and opened up the bagel shop. The one in Swickley. I'm teasing. I don't know which one he opened up. But that's a true story. People are breaking the speed limit of life. It's like the man who confessed, "I feel like a minnow in a flash flood." That's bad. Jesus wants us to experience tranquility, contentment, and the absence of inner strife. That's what he wants us to experience. Let me read something from the Amplified, okay? Philippians chapter 4, you can look over there. Verse 6, do not fret or have anxiety about anything, but in every circumstances and in everything by prayer and petition, definite requests, that's what petition is, and with thanksgiving continue to make your wants known to God. Verse 7, and God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and being and content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard, keep a fortress or army or military over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. John 14. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. So he goes on to say, let not your heart be troubled, or agitated, or stirred up, or afraid. What's the subject understood to be in let not? You. Everybody's waiting for God to do it. And he said, no, I gave you everything you need to do what you're to do. What did he give us, Pastor? Well, 2,000 years ago, Jesus went to Calvary. He died for us. bore sicknesses, bore all the curse of the law, sickness, poverty, eternal damnation. He did that. What else has he done for you? Giving you skilled hands to be whatever job he's placed you in, right? Giving you a lovely spouse. Someone said, oh, me, who's he talking about? All of you. God put you together. And today people, they're getting divorced after 30 or 40 years of marriage. Are you crazy? You spent that much time getting along with each other's mental quirks or not getting along and issues that everybody has, and you're going to go for a second? Excuse me if you're divorced. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about someone that's been married 40 years and you're contemplating a divorce. That's crazy. Well, Pastor, you don't know. Yeah, I guess I don't. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Now, if your mind's going to stay on the news, you're going to bear the fruit of that. Right? 2 Thessalonians. Just helping you. Or did we miss this? Was this supposed to be for the next church? It's hard for people to admit that, huh? I got to be strong for everybody. No, you don't. You got to fight the good fight of faith. So be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. 2 Thessalonians. Look to chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question, and we're not going to make a doctrine out of this. In this first verse, do you see the rapture and the second coming? Is there a 7-year difference in the first verse? Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Hilton Galena, what do you think? But I mean, do we see both in here, the rapture and the second coming, with a 7-year difference? Well, I'm not making a doctrine out of that, but I just thought I'd throw that out to you. Not to you, to everybody, to see if they saw it. Pastor, I've never read that verse before. But then I guess you didn't see it. Okay, look at verse 2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind. You get all shook up. Look at that. He wants to shake you in your mind by fearful sights. Isn't that right? Neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. He doesn't want you to be shaken in spirit or in mind. And the only way you'll not be shaken in your mind is keeping your mind stayed on him. What do you mean, Pastor? Should I get a picture of Jesus and just stare at him? No, the word, the mirror of God's word. Look into it. The Bible says to do it day and night. Meditate on it. See, meditate on it. You could do that while you're working. Back to Isaiah 40. No, let's go. Let's finish this off. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there comes a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, Antichrist, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Look to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? That's why we're the branches, he's the vine. We've got to stay hooked up to him, draw our life from the vine. You know what I mean? And right now it says, the creator of the ends of the earth fainteth not, neither is weary. So if he's not weary, clip into him. There's no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Shall walk and not faint. Why are you supposed to walk? We walk by faith and not by sight. Isn't that right? Matthew 11, 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Fatigue from all the battles you're engaged in every day. And everybody has them. I don't know if anybody's not going through something. But the fatigue from the battles we face involves unfulfilled expectations. In a lot of cases, one becomes frustrated and worn out because what you thought would happen hasn't happened. So, step back, get some alone time with God, and make sure you're on the track He wants you on. Then, how long have you been in that pizza business? At the beginning, were there lean times?
Absolutely.
And what kept you going?
I'll tell you what. Our faith in God, our trust, we did what Proverbs 3 says, we trust the Lord with all our heart. We acknowledge Him in our business and all our ways.
But you know that He called you to that place.
Yes.
You also knew, and I don't even think it was your idea, when it was time to get out of that other place. Doc, you went to school to be a chiropractor, took your whole family down there, left a good job teaching history. History? That's what I said, biology. You and Joe should get together, right? Doc, you was to be a chiropractor, you inherited a nice place from Dr. Whittle, who's Michelle's father. He's still your father. Yeah. How was it at the beginning? Rough times? They rough any longer? You're not eating beans anymore. Come on. Different ways. But I mean, you have prospered in your business. You know God called you to do that. To at least age 70-something. How many know what I'm trying to get at? If you're hitting the bricks all the time, I mean, and it's just not working. It might be time to pray, and maybe God got something way different than you. Like opening up a bagel shop. Unfulfilled expectations usually relate to rewards that were expected but not received. Isn't that right? Now, we should have high expectations but involve God. Not to get the praise from others or to boost your own ego, but to glorify Him. Proverbs, here's something you want to do if you're in a bind right now. Proverbs 16:3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. He'll let you know what to do. You know, Elijah had some unfulfilled expectations. Elijah was a mighty prophet. He did miracles after miracles. Then he ran from a woman named Jezebel. The similarities between Jezebel and Madeline O'Hare are unbelievable. No time to go into those now. Madeline O'Hare took the Bible out of public schools. He did those miracles, yet he ran from a woman, and he got under a juniper tree and wanted to die. He was a champion, wasn't he? But Elijah actually got burned out from unfulfilled expectations. Look over to 1 Kings chapter 18. Thanks, Dan. 1 Kings. Some of these verses I'm going to repeat, but I'm going to do it in the NLT. It's kind of clear. But right now we want to look to 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? We got a New Testament counterpart, so hold your place in Kings. We're coming back. And look to James chapter 1. How long shall you halt between two opinions? How long? James. I'm getting there. I'm in Hebrews. James, chapter 1. I said verse 6, right? But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. How long shall you halt between two opinions? It's being double-minded. Look what it says. And let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, for a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Back to Kings. Verse 22, then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now watch, here starts coming his little downfall here. Watch what he says here. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, first of all, use that too much. Even I only remain a prophet of the Lord. That wasn't true. God had 7,000 others. You knew that, right? But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Elijah was not alone, as God shows him later on. Remember, this guy Elijah is one of God's most powerful prophets. In fact, Elijah means Jehovah is my God. Elijah was a fire maker and a rain maker. Verse 23, let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of the Lord, are your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto them, unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. They took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. He's dead. How's he hearing you? But there was no voice, nor any answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. Verse 27, and it came to pass at noon, that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is God. He is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey. Or peradventure, he sleepeth and must be awakened. Elijah's mocking their efforts. Verse 28. And they cried aloud, cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, and there was neither voice nor any to answer for there, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken. Verse 31, and Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be my name. He's displaying undaunted courage. Look over to verse 32 quickly. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as wood contained 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. It's going to wet the wood. And they said, do it the second time. And he did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. Actually put water around the trenches. And the water ran around about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art a God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offerings or sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God, and the Lord, he is the God. They repeat that. The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Say, the Lord, he is the God. Following the smashing victories, Elijah had many confrontations with Queen Jezebel. She always goes after the prophets, Jezebel. And what helps her to get along is she had a husband, King Ahab, who was very weak. I think we'll stop right there because that was a lot for you.